We do not show up at your house or anything creepy like that. We send you a gift and a gift card and just say thank you for coming. Also, we do a thing if you have Facebook on your phone. We do a thing if you check in on Facebook. We partner with a ministry, and every check-in on Facebook does good. And so we try to partner and always give opportunities to do good. And so this month, if you check in, every check-in provides a meal for a Burmese refugee. And I think we might have a count. So all of our partner churches that came together to do this, so far this month, we have provided 56,000 meals for the Burmese refugee children. And I think our church, so far this month, we've provided 38 meals. That's kind of just a cool way just to be involved. And it tells your friends, hey, we tried out Quest Church tonight. Inside your bulletin, there's an insert about Victoria Global Ministries. And so for Christmas, we are sponsoring the children that they have at the new orphanage over there in Kenya. And if you'd like to be a part of that, you can reach out to the ministry with the contact information there. And finally, Christmas Eve service. We're not going to have a Christmas Eve service here at the lake this year, but we are two locations in one church, so our West Liberty location, we're going to have Christmas Eve there. And so there's a card on the welcome table if you'd like to attend. And we're doing our servant evangelism for the month of December right after the first service on Christmas Eve. So if you want to be involved in the servant evangelism or the Christmas Eve service, what we're going to do is we're going to go to service at 4:30 on Christmas Eve. And right after that, we're going to leave from there. We're going to take just a huge pile of cookies, and everyone who's working on Christmas Eve up here at the lake, at some gas stations, some policemen and some firemen, we're going to come and bless them with cookies and say, thank you for your serving and working on Christmas Eve night. We just want to bless you. So it's a cool way to serve the community on Christmas Eve. Well, that's it. We're going to continue worshiping now. We're going to stand. You can stand, sit, do whatever you like. And if you're comfortable, would you turn and greet someone?
And King, His love endures forever. For He is good, He is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, His love endures forever. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield. Though troubles linger still, whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me. Yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. still, there is a river that flows from Calvary's tree, a fountain for the thirsty, your grace that washes over me. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. I lift my hands to believe again. You are my refuge. You are my strength. As I pour out my heart, these things I remember.
Thank you and praise you for your faithfulness to us. Even though there have been times, Lord, that we have failed you, maybe we have disappointed you, you are continually faithful to us. Help us, Lord, to hear from your Holy Spirit this evening and help us to be obedient to what you would have us to do. We invite you here today, Lord Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.
All right. Well, it is almost December. Not yet, but almost December. And I was just thinking the other day that it was 11 Decembers ago when I asked Lisa to marry me. Aw. But more than that, I also remember that there was a specific time when I had firmly decided in my heart that I was going to do that. I was going to ask Lisa to marry me. But I didn't just go out and ask her the next day. Like, why not? What was I doing? Was I just chickening out? Well, probably. Probably chickening out for a little while. But it really is probably about more than 2 months. But it wasn't like nothing was happening. Important things were happening. Even though I had decided to do that, there was a time that had to happen before I actually gave Lisa the gift before I offered her to spend my life with her and asked her to give her the gift of her life with me. And this month, as we approach Christmas, as we start the season of Advent, that is the celebration of when Jesus came the first time, that's Advent. As we start that, we're going to be talking about the gift, the gift. And today we're going to be talking about the time for the gift, the time for the gift. I was thinking, you know, if Adam and Eve sinned like way back in the beginning, why did God wait like all that time to send Jesus? I mean, by the most conservative estimates, we think that it was about 4,000 years between Adam and Eve sinned. Now we have a sin problem, and God sends the solution with the gift of Jesus. Like, why did he wait? Like, that's just the most conservative estimate. It could have been way longer than that. You know, why wasn't it like Adam and Eve sinned, and the next day Jesus was born? Like, why not? And what does that have to do with us today? Well, I'm going to be reading out of Galatians today, if you'd like to follow along. And I'm going to be in Galatians 4, but I want to give you some background of the chapter before that, out of Galatians 3. And so Galatians, that's a letter that Paul wrote to a church in Galatia that he started, but something bad happened, and there was a pretty serious problem, and Paul was not a guy to mess around. He didn't really mince words. He was kind and gentle, but if there was a problem, he addressed it. And it's kind of interesting. I think the book of Galatians is different from all the rest of the letters that Paul wrote in this one special way. We have 13 letters from Paul in the New Testament, okay? And 12 of them start off this way. From Paul, an apostle appointed by Jesus. Grace and peace to you. And some sort of thing like, I always pray for you, and I'm always thinking about you, and I love you guys. Okay, 12 times Paul says that. But when he writes the letter to the church in Galatia, it's like this. It's like, Paul, an apostle by Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. What are you doing? He's just like, he spares no time, and he jumps right into, like, there is a problem. And he wants to get down to the heart of it. And we're going to be talking about the heart of it today. And so the background is this. This is what happened. Paul started this church in Galatia. Things were going great. He didn't spend a whole lot of time there, but he was there a significant amount of time, and it was a pretty significant church. And then he got news of what happened. Basically, some bad teachers found their way into the church. And so when Paul would go to a town and he would spread the message of Jesus Christ, especially in the places where he started, those places were generally dominated by Jewish believers or just Gentiles, people that believed in the Greek gods and things like that. And so usually, because Paul was a Jew and he's coming from the Jews, usually he was persecuted by Jewish people. And so he left the church and they lived in that world where, okay, most of them were Jews, some were Greeks, but the Jews did not like how they took the message of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they added to it. They felt like, no, you're getting away. And they're saying, no, it's the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah to come. And so they were persecuted. And so these new teachers came in who were Jews, and they were trying to almost get the best of both worlds. They said, yeah, okay, Jesus is the Messiah. Yeah, he did come, and that's good. And we now have this new life. But also, you should still follow the Old Testament law. It's not right for you to get away from the law. And they sort of corrupted the teaching of the good news. And it was upsetting the church. And so Paul said, hey, how quickly have you left the gospel, the good news that I gave you? What are you doing? And so he starts to teach them about the law and the New Testament, the gift of Jesus Christ. He says he's the example of the schoolmaster and heirs. That guy on the right, anybody know who that is? Prince Harry. Prince Harry. He's a pretty serious heir in our time right now. And he says that something like this. He says, now when the law came, it was important because it was kind of like a schoolmaster that was taking care of us until the time that was appointed by Daddy to give us our inheritance. Now, back then, in the Greek culture especially, they had schoolmasters that if you were rich, if you had a large estate, and if you had a son, and you wanted to make sure that when the time came for him to be an adult and to inherit all of your stuff, that he took care of it, he didn't blow your whole estate that you spent your whole life building, that you did a good job with it. And so they would appoint kind of like a schoolmaster, like a babysitter, like a tutor over their sons to sort of take care of them. So maybe you had them set up to go see a famous teacher, okay, on every Monday. And every Tuesday they had music lessons, and every Wednesday they had karate lessons, or whatever they had all week long. You had all these tutors set up, and this person's job was to make sure that your son or your daughter got to their training, that they went through the preparation, so that when the time came that they were to receive the gift, that they were to receive what the Father had prepared at the time that your Father intended to give it to you, that you were ready. And so that was sort of the idea of the schoolmaster. And he says, really, until that time comes when you get the gift, really, even though you're an heir, you're kind of no different than all the other people that work for Dad. Because it's sort of like, even though you're sort of like the owner of everything, you're still restricted. So who in here has graduated high school? Okay, like 70%, okay? It's kind of like when you're in school, it's almost kind of like a restriction, right? It's like, I have to go to school every day. There's some choices I can't make. It's almost like a pretty serious limitation on your life, right? He's saying it's kind of like that. It's kind of a limitation for your good, okay? And even though you're the heir, you're just like everybody else that has to go to school. Your daddy has rules for you until the time when you get that freedom, when you get the diploma, when you graduate, and you have that new life, and you get everything that the heir is supposed to get. And he's like, once you've graduated school, why would you go back? These Jewish teachers, they're trying to force you back under that law again. Why would you go back into that and give up your freedom? That's what he's saying. And so what we're going to do is we're going to pick it up in Galatians 4, and I'm going to read out of the Message Bible, because Galatians, it's not one of the hardest books to read, but it's one of the more complicated ones. And I'm going to read the first 7 verses-ish out of Galatians chapter 4. Paul says this. So he had just talked about, since you were in Christ's family then, from Abraham, you are an heir. Okay? He says, now let me show you the implications of what this means. As long as the heir is a minor, he has no advantage over the slave. Even though legally he owns the entire inheritance, he is subject to the tutors and the administrators until the date the father has set for his emancipation, for his freedom. That is the way it is with us. When we were minors, we were just like slaves, ordered around by simple instructions, the tutors and administrators of this world, with no say in the conduct of our own lives. But when the time arrived that was set by God the Father, when that time came, God sent his Son, born among us of a woman, and born under the conditions of the law, so that he might redeem those of us who had been kidnapped by the law. So he said, there is a time when the law was there. There was a time coming. You're still under the law for now, but there was a time coming, a special time when the gift would be given, and it's important that you don't rush ahead. In fact, when Jesus came, and a lot of people, whether they're believers in Christ or not, a lot of people look back at that time and they said, man, Jesus could not have come at a more perfect time in history. There was no better time for him to say that he's the Messiah and for belief in Jesus to spread so rapidly and overcome the world as quickly as it did. In fact, when Jesus came, a couple things that mattered were, oh, I broke my clicker. All right. The Jews had already proclaimed that the Messiah is coming. So it's like, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. And then when Jesus shows up, it's not like, well, who is this guy? Oh, he's the guy that they've been talking about. Okay? So they sort of prepared the way, say, the Messiah is coming. And not only that, but Rome had pretty much conquered the known world other than what they would call some uncivilized barbarians. They had pretty much conquered the known world, and they had just this peace through the empire. So for almost the first time on a large scale in history, you could go from like Italy across Europe, and you wouldn't have to stop along the way at every king of every territory and say, hey, I brought you a gift, good king. Don't kill me. Do I have permission to pass through your lands? No, it wasn't like that anymore. You could peacefully walk all the way around the kingdom. There was the Roman roads. They made travel easy. There was peace. You were protected by the soldiers because Rome wanted there to be lots of good and healthy trade and economy. So for the first time in the world, it's like, oh, it's like this sure would be a great time for the Messiah to come and spread his message fast and far. Also, when Jesus came, it's kind of neat because, yeah, Rome had conquered the world, but what had conquered right before Romans? Alexander the Great, right, and his Greek culture. And now most of the world was united by this common language, Koine Greek. And if you go to Bible geek school, you learn Koine Greek. You don't learn it enough to talk it, but you learn how to study it, and that's what they study. That's why I don't shy away from using things like the Message and stuff. But there was a common language back then so that you could travel from one country to the next, even though you probably knew the tongue that your mother spoke. You also spoke the language of the people that everyone speaks so that you could go to work and make trade and make money. And so if a Messiah had a particular message that he wanted to get across, what better time to do that than when everyone understood the same language? Also, the false idols of the day had failed. So Rome conquered all these people, and they all sort of had their own little religions. But you know what? None of them had saved them from Roman rule. So it sort of left them like spiritually hungry. Like, my idol didn't deliver me. What am I going to do? And two more. Back then, there were all these mystery religions where they had lots of sacrifices, which was okay. It was more common back then, certainly more than today. And this general idea of a bloody sacrifice because of something bad that you did was more commonly accepted because all these people had already seen it happen when they would travel through different lands and sort of prepared the idea of bloody sacrifices and savior gods. And most of the people who were in the Greek Empire sort of believed that your soul was immortal. That was, if you were to say that to them, they would say, "Ah, yeah, I think I agree with that. I think that when I die, my soul lives on. My soul lives on." And so it's like preparing the time for the gift to come. And just last one, just on a worldly scale that we're talking about. That, let's just say that you were not believers, okay? And you lived somewhere in the world of Jesus where the Romans just ruled everything, okay? And you become a believer. How are you going to raise your kids up? Going to raise them up in the church, right? So they become believers, and then they are drafted into the Roman army, and the Roman army is going to send them off to a post somewhere else, and it's sort of like, thank you, Rome. Thank you for sending missionaries, Christian missionaries, all over the known world where they're going to take the message and spread it way faster than we can. You're going to pay for their travel and pay for their food. That's awesome. Thank you, Rome. But that's just a few worldly ideas that, man, it's like God, it's almost like God just had the perfect time picked out. Well, when Paul says in Galatians here that until the time that was set by God, I think the first thing to remember is there is a time. God really has set a time. There is a time that God has set. And for you, it may or may not be, you might already believe in the Lord. You might have already accepted the gift of Jesus. But maybe you just had this prayer request. You've just been going to the Lord over and over. And it's like, God, I believe that I'm following your ways. I believe that I'm doing your thing, but man, when will you remove this roadblock? I'm trying to obey you and do what you say. When will you answer my prayer, Lord? And it's sort of like, God has set a time, but it's like, why would he wait 4,000 years? He's doing something until the time comes for you to get that gift, something important. Just like as the law was a schoolmaster and prepared the world to understand and appreciate the gift, sometimes God sets a time for the gift that's not right away so we grow and learn whatever he has for us so we will appreciate it. Example for me, just because I just like to do it, is when I used to share my faith, I would just spray right away, Jesus loves you. And then I started working with teenagers, and they got me real, real fast. So I'd be working with some teenagers, and someone would bring a friend. I'd say, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? You know, before you go tonight, let's sit down and talk. And they'd be like, yeah, I'd love to talk. And so we talk a little bit, and I'd say, Jesus loves you. And they give me this look like and? Like, so, it's like, my grandma loves me. Like, what's the point? See, their heart wasn't prepared for the gift part yet because they didn't see the reason for it. They didn't see a need for it. But if I first explain, oh, gosh, you know, have you done some of these things? They're like, oh, I guess I have sinned. I guess, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do when I stand before God? I was like, oh, just so happens there's also God made a way and there's a gift. And but if when I gave them the law first, you know, if you break God's law here and there, you'll be guilty. It's like, oh man, now I'm prepared. Now I need the gift. Now I appreciate it. And it's kind of like I decided in my heart I was going to ask Lisa to marry me. It's like, there were lots of things to do before I went and did that. It's like, should I ask her dad first? Should I get a ring? You know, when should I do it? And so I had a time of preparation. And I don't know if this is God's timing, but this is the only time it's ever happened to me in my life. I was thinking about getting Lisa a ring, and I sort of picked up on these hints of what she liked when she took me to the ring store and said, I like this and I like that. And so I thought, all right, I'm up to my eyeballs in college debt. What? How am I gonna pay for this ring? I want to get her a nice one. What are we going to do? And I own some domain names like google.com, things like that. And I own my own name. I own several versions of my own name. And just out of nowhere, this guy who had the same name as me, Scott Brooks, he got my contact information. He emails me. He says, hey, I want to buy your domain name. See, the thing about a domain is there's only one in the world. Like, there might be scottbrooks.org and .net and on and on and .lame and .other things. There's only one .com. And it's like, I own some cell phone stores, and I want to get this. I was like, oh, you want a website for your store? No, I just want my name. And so there's only one in the world. So what I did was I was like, all right, this guy has some money. He spilled the beans. I know he can afford it. How much does the ring cost? Maybe I can make this work. And I knew a cell phone store owner, and I knew how shrewd they were. So I took the cost of the ring, and I asked, like, double, because I knew how he's going to work. And so I said, all right, if you pay this much, I'll sell it to you. He's like, no, that's you're crazy. You know, this calculator on the web says I should only, I'm like, there's one in the world. Do you want it or not? And he came back, and we agreed on the exact price of the ring. And that domain paid for the thing that's on Lisa's finger right now. That's the only time, I mean, over the course of my life, I probably owned maybe 100 of those. And the only time it's ever happened, but it's like, God had a time, and he was taking care of me, and I was worried that Lisa and I, that our faiths were too different at that time, but God told me it was okay, and he made a way. And so, there was a time of preparation. And so we had this trailer that we took to all these different fairs and carnivals, and we sold these soft pretzels. Not like that thing you pop in the microwave and ding, and it's like crunchy. No, like we baked them in this awesome oven, and we like made the dough and stuff. We didn't make the dough, but we cooked the dough, and we made them fresh. And it's like when you pulled them open, they were soft, like steam was coming out of the middle. They were so awesome. And we went to one festival called a pretzel festival. Do you think there was any competition there? There was like 50 people selling pretzels. But we had a line of like 100 people. Like no one was buying stuff from the Boy Scouts. No one was buying stuff from all. And it was just like people just loved it. But eventually Dad kind of like, the love kind of ran out. And life was kind of busy. And he wanted to sell it. And for 3 years.